You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In 2009, Dr. George Tiller, an abortion provider in Wichita, Kansas, who performed third trimester or late abortions, was gunned down while he was attending church. Now, 4 years later, there are only four doctors in the United States who still perform the procedure. Filmmakers Martha Shane and Lana Wilson have made a documentary called After Tiller, a portrait of those doctors and their patients. It opens this coming Friday at Film Forum and the Eleanor Bunin Monroe Film Center at Lincoln Center. And I'm pleased to welcome the two filmmakers, along with one of their subjects, Dr. Susan Robinson, to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Lana, isn't this your first feature film?
Yes, it is.
Why did you choose these doctors as your first subject?
Yeah, that's a question my mother asks me constantly. Not this subject, Lana, not this subject. But it really came from watching the news coverage of Dr. Tiller's death. I wasn't a filmmaker then, but I remember watching the news and having so many questions about him, that this man was killed in a church. I thought it was so surprising that the number one target of the anti-abortion movement was a deeply religious Christian. And then also learning from the news that he'd been shot once before in the 90s and he'd gone back to work the next day. That was incredibly surprising to me. So just wondering, wanting to know more about this man as a human being.
And he had a lot of death threats along the way.
Yep.
But you teamed up with someone who had made films before. Martha, you have made documentaries. Now, your documentaries, did they in some way lead you to this topic?
Yeah, I had made documentaries that focused on issues of health and sexuality, so I think this wasn't sort of a natural fit. And when Lana, you know, came up with this subject and brought it to me, I just felt like, you know, I was as shocked as anyone to learn that there are only four doctors in this country who are doing this work. So I was naturally curious.
Dr. Robinson, how did you feel about the project when Martha and Lana approached you?
Oh, we didn't want to have anything to do with it. We had been brought up by Dr. Sella and I had been brought up by Dr. Tiller, and he did not do any press at all of any kind. He always said it's about the patient and not about me. And that seemed like a reasonable point of view, so we parroted that.
And did, Lana, did the other doctors say something similar?
The two male doctors actually agreed pretty quickly, so we began filming with them, and we spent a year just trying to convince Dr. Robinson and Dr. Sella to let us come visit. We were like, just meet us in person. That's where we wanted to get, because we thought that we could convince them if they got to know us a little bit and understood what our ideas for the movie were.
And it's important to have all four.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Now, Dr. Robinson, how long have you been doing these procedures, and how did you get into this particular medical practice?
I've been doing only abortion care since 2000, and I started working with Dr. Tiller in 2005, and he was assassinated in 2009, and I'm still carrying on what I learned from him.
Did he train you and
he
the
did.
Other doctors who are now doing these procedures?
Yes.
Were these procedures that he developed?
Pretty much. He and Dr. Hearn are the two docs who developed doing really late abortions.
And Lana mentioned that she was curious about why he continued despite having been shot and the death threats. Did you talk about that at work?
Oh, sure. He was a very determined and very ethical guy and stubborn as the day is long. And if you pushed him, his response was to push back. He one time put a big sign out in front of the clinic that said, "Women need abortions, and I'm going to do them."
What happened to his clinic after he was killed?
It was closed.
So you had to move to somewhere else?
Yes. For about 6 months, we looked for some place where our service could be used, a state where it would be legal, and where there was a clinic that would be accepting.
Because he was in Wichita, but laws have been changed in Kansas?
They certainly have. They've been changed in a number of states.
And New Mexico is one of the exceptions?
Yes, New Mexico. There is no mention of gestational age in the law.
Can you define late-term abortion? Are we talking about a pregnancy that's in its 25th week or later?
It's hard to define because it's not really a medical term, but generally people mean 25 weeks or over.
Mm-hmm. Most abortions are done in the first trimester. This is third trimester.
That's correct. The vast majority are done before 12 weeks.
So is this closer to delivering a live baby?
Yeah, it's closer to delivering, yes.
Can you give us a brief explanation of what's involved?
What's involved is the patient comes, the fetus is euthanized with an injection of digoxin, and then the cervix is prepared for 2 days, usually. And on the third day of cervical preparation, the patient has labor induced. She goes through labor and she delivers.
Now, this is a fairly rare procedure in this country. Is it because of the laws or because there are only a few women who feel, for one reason or another, that they need this procedure performed?
I think it's a combination. If it were more widely available, I suspect that more women would need this service. But I think what happens is a lot of women need it and end up delivering pregnancies that are either very ill or that they can't take care of. And those babies end up in dumpsters.
As we have hear about regularly in the news.
Sure.
Have some doctors stopped doing them because of the death threats or the legal challenges?
I don't know if people have stopped doing later abortions for that reason. Certainly a lot of doctors have stopped doing any abortion care for that reason.
Now, Martha, in the film, you say that many people who are generally pro-choice can still be against trimester abortions.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, something like 10% of people support the right to have a third trimester abortion. But I think that, you know, is in large part because people just don't know the reasons why women are seeking abortions.
And why would anyone wait so long to have the procedure?
You know, in a lot of cases, this is a fetal anomaly that the mother discovers late in the pregnancy. So it's a wanted pregnancy. In other cases, it's a very young woman who didn't know she was pregnant or was in denial about the pregnancy. Sometimes women have just been trying for ages to get an abortion.
Dr. Robinson, do you accept any patient who comes to you or do you evaluate each case?
We evaluate each case.
And how do you decide which ones to take?
We'll take care of a woman if we confidently believe that we can safely finish the procedure in our facility, which is an office facility.
In the film, you decide not to perform an abortion, mm-hmm. at least in one instance. And that's not for that reason, but you just feel that the circumstances are unacceptable?
I felt that she was too far along or the dates were too uncertain. And she even was too far along for me to be confident that I could do it without complication in the office.
Lana and Martha, did you speak to some of the patients?
We did. We talked to all of them to get their permission to film first, but then we were very close with them throughout the whole filming process.
But you only show them from the back.
Mm-hmm.
Because we actually gave them the choice of either showing their faces, and I think most of them chose not to.
And what reasons did they generally give for wanting to have an abortion this late in the game?
It was a range of reasons. Fetal anomaly cases, like Martha mentioned, we saw one very young woman who'd been raped and was in denial about the rape and had finally come to terms with it and realized that she was pregnant. There is another very young teenager in the film who was afraid to tell her parents because she was terrified of the judgment and anger that would come down on her, so that's why she was delayed. And there's another patient who it took her a long time to raise the money to have an abortion. I mean, not only to have the abortion, but also to travel to another state to get childcare, to get time off work and all of that.
The fetal anomalies, those are only discovered fairly late in the pregnancy?
There are some fetal anomalies that can't be discovered earlier in the pregnancy.
Dr. Robinson, do you discuss with these women what kind of life their baby will have if they carry it to term?
Generally speaking, by the time they get to us, they've discussed that thoroughly with their perinatologist.
So they have a pretty good idea, but they could still give birth to the child and then give it up for adoption?
Yes, if there were a lot of people who wanted to adopt babies that couldn't talk and couldn't take care of themselves and couldn't recognize people, I suppose that's true.
And in some cases, will die very soon after they're born.
In many cases, will die very soon or will have to have a lot of surgery. And these mothers and fathers want to save these babies from a short lifetime of misery and suffering.
My guests are Dr. Susan Robinson, one of the doctors profiled in a new film called After Tiller. It's made by my other two guests here, Martha Shane and Lana Wilson. And it opens this coming Friday at Film Forum and the Eleanor Bunin Monroe Film Center at Lincoln Center. There are there are women whose fetuses are healthy, but you said they didn't know that they were pregnant. Why wouldn't they just have the baby and give it up for adoption?
Well, we ask them that, and I suppose the people who would do that don't come to us. But the people who do come to us have decided that either they know that they would not be able to give it up once they gave birth to it, and they know that they can't parent it well. And so they feel that the most responsible choice is to abort it.
Having an abortion so late in a pregnancy must take an emotional toll on a woman. Is there an element of psychiatry in your practice?
There certainly is. There's an element of ministry. Dr. Tiller used to refer to his practice as a ministry to women. Women need to tell their story, and we listen.
He was a religious man. Did he see what he was doing as somehow part of his religious faith?
Yes, absolutely, as did his entire congregation.
Do you counsel them on how to talk to their families and friends about what they've decided to do?
Yes. The fetal anomaly patients, yes, the maternal indications patients generally have worked it out for themselves. But the ones who have a desired pregnancy are very much in difficulty about what am I going to say when people say, how's the baby?
The other part of the story that you tell in this film is just how difficult it is for these doctors to carry on their practices. Mm-hmm. In some cases, they're generally picketed. In some cases, politicians immediately propose laws to make it impossible for them to open a clinic. Did you just have to go wandering around the country trying to find places that these doctors could work at?
Yeah, I mean, that became a huge part of Dr. Carr's storyline. When we started filming with Dr. Carr, we had no idea that there was going to be this huge wave of anti-abortion legislation passed in the States.
He was in Bellevue, Nebraska.
Exactly, yeah. And then they passed this 20-week abortion ban in Nebraska, which forced him to move to Germantown, Maryland.
Where he faced a lot of opposition suddenly, even though the laws in Maryland would allow for late-term abortion.
Yeah, there was a very, very well-organized protests against him and that were, you know, very well-attended, had, you know, young people singing, people giving impassioned speeches. So yeah, there was a huge movement against him there.
And then a lot of Dr. Warren Hearn set up his clinic in Boulder, Colorado in 1973, right after Roe v. Wade legalized abortion. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how his first marriage broke up partly because of the threats that were made against him.
Yeah, he was dealing with a lot of threats, and he actually, I think his wife, it was really hard for her, understandably, who can't relate to how difficult that would be. And he actually had someone shoot through the clinic window 8 gunshots on the day that he signed his divorce papers with that marriage.
One of the doctors had horses for his kids, and the barn was burned down by somebody who objected to what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's part of Dr. Carhart's story. And, you know, the happy ending is that he rebuilt the farm. It's called Phoenix now because it rose from the ashes. But they've just endured so much protest and harassment at that clinic.
Well, the thing that confuses a lot of people, whether they support the idea of late-term abortion or not, is why some people are willing to kill horses or doctors, mm-hmm. or because they believe that they should be saving fetuses.
Mm-hmm.
And is that something that you have grappled with at all, Dr. Robinson?
Yes, I don't think of them as pro-life. I think of them as anti-abortion. They believe that it's not a good thing, and they'll do anything to stop it.
Well, they say that they're saving babies by killing the doctor.
So they do. But I disagree with them, and they're killing the doctor.
Have you faced any of those threats of that sort?
I've faced general threats. I've had people call and say that they were going to kill me. I've had postcards sent to all of my neighbors saying, your neighbor Susan Robinson makes her living with blood on her hands, and so on like that.
And how has it affected your personal life?
It makes me more stubborn. I have a very supportive family and husband.
You also work with one of the other doctors in the film.
Yes, Dr. Sella.
Who had worked with you originally with Dr. Tiller?
Yes, she was. There were 3 doctors who worked with Dr. Tiller, Dr. Sella, Dr. Carhart, and myself, and we alternated weeks.
And didn't Dr. Sellers start off as a midwife?
She did.
So she was originally delivering babies and then decided to perform abortions?
Yes. I mean, I started out as an obstetrician gynecologist, and I did perinatology, high-risk obstetrics, for some time. So we both started that way.
Couldn't you do both still?
Yes.
Deliver babies?
If I wanted to do obstetrics, I certainly could do both. There are plenty of people who are pregnant and do abortions.
Have you ever counseled patients to have the baby, give it up to adoption?
I always ask them, and they usually have thought it out very carefully and decided quite firmly that that's not on the agenda for them.
You and the other doctors are all approaching, or in some cases are past, what we normally consider retirement age. Are you training other doctors to replace you?
We have just finished training a wonderful doctor, Dr. Landau. She's in her 30s. She's a family medicine doctor, and she's just I couldn't have asked for a better trainee.
But I'd imagine there aren't all that many people who who want to do this kind of work, simply whether they believe in it or not.
There are people who are interested in it, and when they see it in action, they are so entranced with the ability to relate to somebody and help them at such a time of crisis that they have to do that. I think that's what happened to Dr. Landau.
Lana and Martha, this film brought the two of you together. Will you continue working together?
We'll see. We have some different projects going on in the future. Martha's working on a project about a French con artist, and I'm working on a project about marriage counseling in prison. So who knows where the future will go.
Meanwhile, you have this film, and I'm assuming, have you shown it elsewhere?
Yeah, we've shown it all over the country at film festivals so far, and the response has been really amazing.
You haven't had pickets as well?
You know, we've had just a few. We went to Sundance, you know, expecting maybe huge protests or something, and we had a small protest in Ann Arbor, but really the reception has been incredible from both anti-abortion and pro-choice people.
Yeah, the number one thing that people who come up to us after screenings say is, I had no idea this was so complicated. And we hear that from people on both sides of the issue because you imagine if you're anti-abortion and you see this film, I think you have to confront a lot of wrenching patient circumstances that you might not have been able to imagine before. And then if you're pro-choice, you have to look at the idea that part of being pro-choice means accepting the fact that other people might make decisions that you could disagree with or that you might not make. But the point is that it's their decision. And that's a really hard thing to grapple with. So I think no matter where you stand politically, once you see the movie, you hopefully think about it a little differently in a more deep, thoughtful, complex way.
Dr. Robinson, are you considering retirement anytime in the near future?
I would certainly like not to be away from home half the time, which is what it is now.
Thank you all so much for being on our show. Martha Shane and Lana Wilson have made this documentary called After Tiller, which is a portrait of the last four doctors in this country who continue to perform third trimester abortions. Also with us is one of those doctors, Dr. Susan Robinson. The film opens this coming Friday at Film Forum and the Eleanor Bunin Monroe Film Center at Lincoln Center. It's been a pleasure having you on our show.
Thank you so much.